Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: PI.org, the Illinois Education Association, and Visit Springfield.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, a new budget was approved. The Chicago Bears' request for help on a new stadium was not. Just a couple of the headlines from the just-completed legislative session in Illinois. We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus, and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie has also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week, Ben Zielinski, back with us. He's a reporter for Capital News Illinois. Ben, thanks for joining us once again.
Great to be with you, Sean.
We'll start with the budget. That's something you follow pretty closely, Ben, and it affects the most people, I would say, of things that pass at the Capitol. This has now been being sent to the governor. This would be for the new fiscal year starting July 1st. So give us a few highlights on what this budget includes.
Yeah, this is a $56 billion budget. That is pretty much what Governor Pritzker had proposed in February. There is not a lot of new spending in this budget. It fully funds the K-12 evidence-based funding model for public schools in Illinois. It includes a 1% increase for higher education. It fully funds pensions. One of the most, I think, new programs that's in this budget is new things for SNAP recipients, people who have lost their SNAP eligibility because of changes at the federal level. This budget creates a one-time $400 payment for those folks that they will be eligible for later in the summer. That's probably the most notable new thing in this budget. Otherwise, it's very flat on spending, but there's plenty of new taxes in this budget. There's upwards of, it's been reported, about $800 million in new revenue. I think we're still trying to iron out exactly how much and where that's all coming from, but that includes changes to, you know, taxes on businesses, a tax on social media companies based on how many users that they have in the state of Illinois, other smaller things on fantasy sports licensing, prediction market sports betting is now going to be covered under sports betting taxes. So, you know, there was a lot of, I think, new revenue in this budget that, you know, is not necessarily going to be paid by people like you and I, regular taxpayers, but that was really the biggest changes we saw in what is otherwise a pretty unremarkable budget that is basically going to hold spending exactly flat.
Now, Charlie, this when you put a budget like this together, like Ben said, a lot of new taxes, so you're estimating revenue from things like that. You're estimating other revenue from your income and sales taxes. But from what you can tell, based on the revenue estimates, does this appear to be a balanced budget?
Yeah, it does. And Ben, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think the plan would result in a $500 million surplus at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, I think right around that number at the end of the current fiscal year, it's probably going to be lower, closer to probably $200 million or, you know, give or take at the end of fiscal year 2027.
No, but it's balanced. And it, in a sense, it meets the definition of balance, because if you look at the legislation, the appropriations say we're going to spend X amount of dollars on the revenue side. The budget says, well, with these changes we made to some of the tax laws, we're going to have that much that we're planning to spend, plus a little bit more. Now, having said that, the Republicans will argue, no, it's really not balanced, because, for one thing, we're not fully paying off the pensions. And that's an argument that's been made for generations. And there is a law that says every year you have to pay this much towards your pension debt. And that was fulfilled in this budget that the governor is going to sign. But there's still, off the top of my head, there's probably more than $100 million of unfunded pension obligations. And the notion that we should pay those all in one year, no, that's not going to happen. And there were other complaints from the progressive side that we're not spending enough on education. We're going to put in, I believe it's $350 million, additional million dollars for the education evidence-based funding plan for K-12 education. And under the formula and the, what would you say, the provisions of the law, that's how much is supposed to be allocated this particular year. Now, the progressives argue, well, that is really undercutting the schools, because even if we do put in $350 million, there's still like $1 billion of unfunded needs, and so we should have done more in that area. So the argument basically boiled down to the Republicans saying that, well, you're, once again, you have this, what would you say, this really spendthrift budget where you're increasing all these things and it's not really balanced. And then the progressive Democrats saying, we really are not doing enough in these areas that really need help. Yeah. So I guess it's kind of right in the middle.
Yeah, Ben, that's there was also a push by some progressives near, especially, it's been going on actually for a while, but it really popped up more closer to the end of session to try to do something. There was the talk of a millionaire tax, all of this, but that never really seemed to get the traction. And that's despite supermajority Democratic, the Democratic control of the legislature, both chambers and the governor's office. But yet the idea of trying to come up with even more revenue, that didn't seem to really gain any traction.
Yeah, you know, I think Governor Pritzker's hesitant about some of these ideas that the progressives have proposed. A number of them have some pretty significant legal questions, have never been tried in the United States before. So, you know, I think that was kind of a hold up towards their agenda. Also, you know, I think some of the optics of, you know, calling for, you know, giant tax increases in an election year can, you know, hinder the ability for other lawmakers to want to accept and take that vote in order to increase taxes by $4 billion like they were seeking. So, you know, I think, you know, the budget negotiators did give the progressives a little bit of a win here. The digital ad tax that they had been calling for, that was created under this budget, but the state is not planning to collect any revenue from it because they know it's going to be litigated. And there are a lot of legal questions about taxing revenue that is derived from digital ads. So, you know, I think it was kind of maybe a way to appease the progressives to put something in this budget that, you know, would satisfy their concerns. Ultimately, I don't know that that revenue is ever going to get collected by the state of Illinois. So, you know, I think these conversations from the progressives are going to continue in future years. Governor Pritzker's always been kind of a conservative budgeter. He has not, you know, gone for giant swings at tax increases and whatnot, even as other members of his own party have done that. So, you know, we'll see what changes after probably his final election in race for governor here. But, you know, I don't expect that they're going to become, you know, the leaders on this budget situation anytime soon. I think you're still going to continue to see a lot of this incremental, you know, find some dollars here and there to increase taxes that don't really affect regular people at the end of the day.
And Charlie, he has at times, I mean, we can go back to the graduated income tax. He did push for that at one point. But since then, Ben's right, he has not been necessarily out there calling for wide scale change on all of this, on how the state raises revenue. And I guess the problem I do see, I think where the progressives and some of these education groups may have a serious point here is because I heard them talk about inflation and the cost that's bringing for school districts. Even with the additional money, it's not going as far as it once did. The bottom line is that comes down to another real problem in the state of Illinois, and that is likely that you're going to continue to see property taxes go up. So, again, they didn't really resolve that problem, in my opinion. What do you think on that, Charlie?
No, and you're right. Property taxes is an issue that's going to be with us for a long, long time. And that's one of the things that when Pritzker pushed for the economic development package that would allow major developers to cut deals with local governments to freeze their property taxes for, you know, 40 years. One of the things that Pritzker pointed out was many other states have this similar legislation. Very few of them have as high a property tax rate. I think Illinois may have the highest property tax levels, or close to it, of any state. And that goes back, if you want to look at it, generations, when we decided that we would fund schools basically out of property taxes rather than putting more state money into education. Now, this evidence-based formula that we've talked about for K-12 is supposed to help remedy that over time, but still the majority of school districts depend on local real estate taxes. It's a much bigger issue than any particular budget, any particular budget year, but it's something that the state really, I think, needs to try and figure out a better way to handle.
You're listening to State Week. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling change makers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.
We're back on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with Charlie Wheeler and Ben Zielinski of Capital News, Illinois. So, Ben, even though spending did go up in this budget, not as much as some people had hoped, but it did go up, does that about $500 million you talked about that would be surplus, at least estimated surplus at the end of the fiscal year, does that take into account all the concerns out there that we may see a slowing economy, that funding threats from the federal government could increase? You know, I guess I'm looking ahead and thinking, what's the state situation going to be when this budget comes to an end?
A lot of those projections about the federal money that have been, you know, how much the state was going to receive from the federal government, a lot of that hasn't really come to fruition. There's been cutoffs here and there, different changes, you know, slightly less revenue from the federal government. But, you know, one of the things we saw this week from the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability is that the May revenue numbers actually put federal resources up above where they were last year. So, you know, we haven't really seen drastic cuts to, you know, the federal reimbursements. But then on the other hand, the economy is changing a lot. You know, it's changed a lot since Governor Pritzker first introduced his budget back in February. You know, just weeks after that, the war in Iran started, gas prices skyrocketed. In some ways, that can help the state. You know, with inflation, you end up receiving more in sales tax, more in motor fuel tax revenue. But, you know, one of the things budget analysts were watching here at the end of session was the likelihood that the economy was probably going to start slowing down at some point here later in the year or at some point in 2027. Economic growth is not expected to be as robust as it once was. So, you know, this budget is actually slightly smaller than what Governor Pritzker proposed because of those concerns over the economy. So, yeah, I do think generally this does take it into account. And, you know, if lawmakers leave themselves a little bit of wiggle room, you know, they'll do kind of what they're going to do at the end of this current fiscal year, and they're going to spend that extra remaining surplus that is coming up.
And Charlie, speaking of gasoline sales there was the gas tax. They're supposed to go up on July 1st, a couple of cents, but they've pushed that off. You think that was a smart move? I mean, I don't know if people will even notice that.
It's relatively small, so you're probably not going to notice it at the pump. But it was one of the things that the legislature and the governor did to try and, I think the catchwords they were using was making everyday costs more affordable. So they're going to postpone this increase in the motor fuel tax for 6 months. And it's fractions, you know, it's maybe a penny or a couple pennies. So it's not going to be that large an increase. One of the other things that they did was they said there's going to be a back to school sales tax holiday, so that families shopping for school supplies, clothing, school necessities will not pay state sales taxes from August 7th to August 16th, 2026. So if you're getting your kids ready for school, you might wait and do it in the second week of August when you won't have to pay any sales tax. And one of the other things that the budget did that I thought was interesting is they created a new program to help families pay for groceries and food, people who are losing their federal, what would you say, like their federal SNAP benefits. And the program would provide one-time payments of $400 to Illinois families who are kicked off SNAP by the Trump administration. Now, the Trump administration is saying, well, these people really shouldn't be getting these benefits. They should be working, you know, that kind of stuff. And so the legislature and the governor decided, okay, we're going to try and help people out. So those are, what would you say, efforts made to respond to people's concerns about the costs, but they're not that great in the grand scheme of things, but at least there's something that lawmakers can go and say, well, we tried to help, we did this.
Yep, and it's an election year, so that always helps. We'll be back with more on State Week in just a moment.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.
You're listening to State Week, and let me go back to a topic I mentioned at the start of the show, Ben, the Chicago Bears. They had been trying to get some help with building a new stadium, making a move from Soldier Field to Arlington Heights. But at the end of the day, that didn't occur. Give us kind of the breakdown on the negotiations there, and why didn't this pass?
Yeah, this stalled out in the Senate after several weeks of discussions over there. It kind of became a little late when this was realized, but Senator Cunningham, Bill Cunningham, the sponsor of the Bears legislation over there, he told a group of us reporters on Saturday night that the bill did not have support. The mega projects legislation that passed the House did not have support in the Senate. You know, there was a lot of concerns, I think, that came up among lawmakers. For one, there was, you know, no desire to do anything to help the Chicago Bears among certain progressive lawmakers. You know, the Bears are worth almost $9 billion. They didn't want to give tax breaks to a business that large. Then there was concerns from Chicago lawmakers that, you know, the city of Chicago is going to lose its most valuable business, the most identified business anybody has with the city of Chicago. And I think that weighed heavily on conversation. So, you know, ultimately they came up with this late proposal to create, you know, some sort of sports facilities authority, and, you know, local governments can have this power. And the idea was to help, you know, move that forward, where the future NFL stadium would be publicly owned by the local government, but the Bears would pay for the cost of building that stadium. This is a model that's been done in places like Cleveland. Dallas has a similar model. So, you know, that would address the property tax concerns the Bears had about Arlington Heights. But the proposal, frankly, it just surfaced too late. And, you know, it passed the Senate very, very late. I don't even recall what hour that occurred at, some point in the middle of the morning. And the House just didn't have time to review this bill. It was completely foreign to them. So I think, you know, everything was kind of realized a little bit too late in the session, and nobody ever knew where the Bears stood on it. There's criticism that the governor wasn't as heavily involved as folks would have liked him to be. So there's a number of factors that really contributed to this. And ultimately, it's just kind of, they all combined together to sink the Bears' chances of having a bill passed this spring.
There was also criticism of Chicago's mayor, Ben, that he had come down and sort of started some rumors that the Bears would possibly be looking to stay in the city of Chicago. So if you're a Chicago lawmaker from the city, why would you vote to have the team move if you think there's some chance there? How real do you think that was?
Yeah, that was the question all along, I think, was, you know, how do you convince these Chicago lawmakers to get on board? And, you know, I think it's really hard to say exactly how realistic it was that the city of Chicago still has a chance to retain the Bears. But what I think we have learned here, especially in the days since the session ended, Crane's Chicago Business reported on Thursday that the Bears held six different meetings with the city of Chicago in April, despite at the same time publicly telling folks and telling people in Springfield that the only, you know, valid site in the state of Illinois for a stadium was in Arlington Heights. They apparently were still considering some sort of proposal in the city of Chicago. Whatever those conversations truly actually were, they were enough to get Brandon Johnson the ability to say that the city of Chicago had a chance to retain a Bears stadium, to build a new stadium at the lakefront, just like he and Kevin Warren, the Bears CEO, had proposed several years ago. And I think, you know, he was convincing enough to Chicago lawmakers to express that and make his voice known. And his representatives in Springfield on the Senate side, they seem to largely listen in a lot of cases. But there was a lot of frustration expressed about the Chicago Bears for, you know, holding these meetings behind lawmakers' back. You know, I remember when Senator Cunningham told us that, you know, it turns out the city of Chicago has actually been meeting with the Bears a lot more than we realized. You know, that was a pretty clear sign that the Bears themselves had helped derail these conversations.
I got to give Charlie props, because from day one, Charlie's been saying he wasn't sure that this had could actually pass in any form, because he wasn't sure that lawmakers would want to give these breaks to this family of billionaires.
The original plan for the like 40 years of property tax breaks in this current economic climate, and the notion that we're going to give this multi-billion dollar corporation the kind of breaks that average homeowners don't see, that did not go over very well. And so when that became clear that the votes were not there in the Senate to pass the original plan that came out of the House, then they came up with this new idea, which apparently neither the governor nor the House had been informed about, nor the Bears, where instead we're going to have a new proposal that would allow any municipality in Cook County with a population of 70,000 could create basically a stadium financing authority for a professional sports team. And the municipality would own the stadium, and therefore the team would not pay any property taxes. That sounds like a pretty decent idea when you get it fully fleshed out. But dropping it in the wee hours of the morning when the legislature is getting ready to adjourn, it's not the best time to try and do it. One of the major problems is that lawmakers do not trust the Bears. The perception is that the team has, or its people have not been straight up with lawmakers about what they actually want. And they've said all along, no, it's either going to be Arlington Heights or it's going to be Hammond, Indiana. And then information came out. I think, as you said, Ben, it was reported by Cranes that the team and the city have been having all these, what do you say, exchange of information and bargaining back and forth about the Bears getting a place in the city. So when this came out, this really did kind of torpedo things. And so my guess is that nothing is going to happen for a while. And the Bears have said end of spring, beginning of summer, they're going to make their decision.
We'll continue to watch that. And real quick, and Charlie, I'll go to you on legislation that you wanted to spotlight, you know, one or two quick bills if you want to mention real fast.
We just finished talking about how the Bears didn't get what they wanted, so that's been kicked over. Pritzker did not get his housing proposal to go through. And so I thought it would be interesting to look at some legislation that was enacted that had been pushed by the governor for years, unsuccessfully until this time around. One was a statewide school ban on cell phones in the classroom. It failed to make it through both chambers last year, but Pritzker has said that he will sign this one. Another big issue is the legislature approved regulations for hemp products. And so it would define hemp according to the new federal standards that would outlaw intoxicating cannabinoids, is that's how it's pronounced, such as Delta 8. And so it would make the products illegal to sell outside of a dispensary, prohibit their sale from gas stations, smoke shops, and other non-licensed stores. And lastly, and we've mentioned this before, the governor has pushed for some kind of state overview of insurance rates. And that happened this year also. The state's Department of Insurance would get to review and block these unfair hikes. So I guess the bottom line is, don't be despairing about your chances of getting your housing program through, or maybe finding some way to solve this bears problem. What's the saying? There's always tomorrow.
That's right. It's time now for our notes from the field. And Ben, we'll go to you first this week.
Treasurer Mike Frericks was the latest Illinois public official to make the parade of visits to the Vatican to meet with Pope Leo this week. And, you know, we've seen a lot of gifts be delivered to the Pope, you know, from very expensive things to, you know, White Sox memorabilia, Chicago beer. I think Mike Frericks wins for most unique gift. He brought the Pope his own money, the $8.65 in unclaimed property that Robert Prevost, his former name, that he had in a unclaimed PayPal account here in the state of Illinois. So Treasurer Mike Frericks went over there and directly brought a certificate to the Pope to claim that unclaimed property. I think he suggested he donate it to charity. Certainly one of the most unique and unique gifts that a public official can give to the Pope, but probably one of the most practical as well.
All right. And Charlie?
Well, after declining for four straight months, the Illinois Flash Index for May ticked up slightly to 101.1 from its 101 level in April. And that's Professor Emeritus Fred Geertz reported this week. This relative stability occurred with the state revenues and Illinois unemployment holding steady. However, there are several seemingly contradictory national indicators, noted Geertz, who compiles the index for the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Equity markets remain strong. Consumer spending is high, although consumer sentiment is low. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability released its monthly briefing for May, and it showed that there's uncertainty with what's going on in the national, international, Middle East tensions, and so on.
Well, that's all the time for this week's show. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and Ben Zielinski with Capital News Illinois. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.